Okay, and let's get right back to our program tonight for you. Joining us this hour is Reverend Ted Pike, a friend of ours and yours for many, many years. He has been working, of course, to protect your First Amendment from the onslaught of those who would seek to pass hate legislation and other things as well. And as most of you know, Ted lost his wife, Aylin, some months ago. And there has been a closure to that. She has been missing. And we'll find out from Ted what happened. Hello, Ted. Welcome back to the program. How many months has it been since she disappeared?
Well, it's been about 6 months. It was December 6th that she died. And her body was actually found on July 6th.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I just did get the word about it the other day. So this is something that you never get past something like this in life. It is a life-changing event, and I'm glad that she was found eventually. That part is good. What are your plans now, Ted?
Well, I'm just rejoicing. I know where she is. She's in heaven with her mother, and I someday will spend eternity with her. So I'm going ahead. I'm finishing basically her work, because she was very much of a visionary and an activist, 100% behind me, even in my struggles against Zionist supremacism and so on. She was a real fighter, a real idealist, and I really have to remain worthy of her and go ahead and complete everything that she envisioned.
Very good. Well, I'm sure she's pleased and watching right now.
Yes.
Very much. Do you have you ever felt her presence? You must have many times. I'm sure you were so close.
Well, actually, just several weeks ago, I heard an extremely loud voice, her voice, very loud. It was so loud it woke me from sleep, and it was not a dream. It was not in my sleep, and I cried out. I said, "Yes, dear," or "Yes, honey." It was so
mm-hmm.
loud.
Mm-hmm.
It had all the nuances of her voice, and then just 2 days later, I had an extremely vivid dream of her coming before our group, and she was just transcendently beautiful in a dark black gown, full of beauty and authority. It had the beauty of a 20-year-old woman, and I'm not making claims of divine revelations, but I do feel that God gave me a sign that she is safe and secure in the arms of Jesus.
Well, very good. Very good. All right. For those who have been following this story, that is something I wanted to pass along. And thank you, Ted, for sharing that. Okay. Your latest article is up in the Ted Pike columnist box. It is how Zog, the Zionist-occupied government, watches your every move, and that is only continuing to increase. His story immediately before that, his article about the NSA, called the new NSA Spy Center, that huge complex, which is nothing less than a total invasion of what privacy we have left, is right below it. That's on the left column. Ted, what are these people up to now?
Well, we are experiencing a renaissance of truth-telling about Judaism and Zionism, Jewish supremacism, not since the days of Henry Ford and the Dearborn Independent and Father Coughlin. When those men spoke to literally millions of us, changed in China and so on, have we had as much truth-telling going forth? And Israel has suffered some real setbacks and publicity blunders. Certainly the Gaza siege has been a publication disaster for Israel, the telecocle and so on. And what's happening is that despite all of this public indignation and outrage, in fact, The JTA, the Jewish Telegraph Agency, just several weeks ago admitted that criticism of Israel is now overwhelming, quote-unquote overwhelming, on U.S. college campuses. And so there is a groundswell, even in pro-Israel America, of concern, outrage, and indignation. But what's happening is that there's an overlay of high-tech surveillance and eavesdropping technology, which is basically barging into our First Amendment privacy rights, our Fourth Amendment rights, and so on. And this technology is at a level that the people can't successfully restrain it as we would like. Restrain it around the edges through legislation and so on, but there are huge forces that the National Security Agency and Homeland Security and so on, which are not subject to public disapproval as we would wish they would be. These agendas, this Big Brother Orwellian agenda, I think is what we'll be talking about tonight, and this huge data center that's being built in Utah is the primary manifestation of it.
Paid for by you folks and I, and what do you know about the facility itself?
Well, the facility is a million square foot, and let me just read to you just a little bit about that. James Banford is an expert on illegal surveillance and the Zionist involvement and so on. And this huge complex down there, $2 billion complex, it takes the what we have here is a computer, basically a computer which is so big, so fast, that it can decode any kind of encrypted messages coming through telecommunications. It requires the electricity of a city of $200,000 people every day to keep it operating. Here's just a quote.
The electricity that would normally be needed to service 200,000 people constantly around the clock to feed that center.
That's
amazing.
That's how thirsty this computer is for energy. Huh. It says inside the facility will consist of four 25,000 square foot halls filled with servers, complete with raised floor space for cables and storage. We're talking about a computer here.
Yes.
In addition, there will be more than 900,000 square feet for technical support and administration. The entire site.
How many square feet?
900,000 square
feet. That's what I thought you said. That's almost a million square feet.
Yeah, that is a million square feet. For technical support and administration, the entire site will be self-sustaining with fuel tanks large enough to power the backup generators for 3 days in an emergency water storage. Water storage has the capacity of pumping 1.7 millions of gallons of liquid per day, as well as a sewage system and massive air conditioning system to keep all those servers cool. Now, what all of this is backing up is the most powerful, the fastest computer ever made, far above anything ever made, that literally there is no code that can be designed by a computer or by the mind of man that this beast cannot decode very quickly.
Amazing. How many people will be in there, and how much do we know about artificial intelligence and keyword monitoring and all of the state-of-the-art technology, which we're not privy to necessarily, but it's all being employed in there. These aren't real-time people listening in kinds of things, of course. Do you know anything about the inner workings of it all?
Well, I think there's about 10,000 people involved in building and running this computer. I don't know the details. It's supposed to be up and running in about a year. In 2013, it should be in operation. What is terribly significant about this is that this computer has basically two functions. Number one, it's to decode any kind of codes that our adversaries in the war on terror might be
bogus war on terror.
Yeah, quote-unquote war on terror might be communicating with, so that literally, just as we were able to decode the German code, we can decode any code in the world, and no one will be able to communicate without our knowledge. But number two, the purpose of this computer is that in blatant violation of the Constitution, is to spy on everybody, literally everybody in the world, especially those who are involved in any kind of telecommunications, like having your own computer, or using a phone, or sending an email, or a fax, or whatever. All of this will be spied upon, The whole internet will become a source of information which the government will gather into this mammoth data center. It'll all be secret, all without our permission, and they will create basically dossiers. You remember how the ADL back in the 1990s created dossiers on about 10,000 Americans of Arab or Christian conservative people?
Sure.
Well, this is a mega example, proliferation of this this sinister conspiracy to create profiles, and literally every communication you send out, every single phone call will be completing a profile, a picture of what the New World Order wants to know about you.
Very good. All right, stand by. We will pause and come right back with Ted after this. Okay, back with Reverend Ted Pike. Well, we have no more privacy, Ted. It's gone.
Yes, it is.
I don't see any way, of course, to reverse things. There's no social or political means to do it that I can fathom. This is being forced on us. It's a long-term program. It's been around for a long time. They're not going to go away. They have us right where they want us, right in the palm of their hand. This is all mind control, social engineering, social programming. It's not happenstance. It is a science. And they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that is so disconcerting is, as you and I know very well, Israel is one of the most predatory spies of American technology and information and secrets.
Oh, they steal everything. They've got back doors and all the systems. They put in the highest level ultra security rated communications system between the White House and the Pentagon, for example, Air Force One. It's an Israeli company.
Yeah. Well, there are two companies, and I have mentioned this in a previous article to these two that you mentioned, entitled, Is Israel Wiretapping America? And James Bamford is doing a tremendous service. He wrote a book called The Shadow Factory, in which he exhaustively documents how Israeli-founded companies in the 1990s, particularly Inaris and Verint, have played a crucial role in this this spying operation of the NSA, working with the NSA, and providing the extremely sophisticated software and hardware, not only for surveillance heretofore, but this huge complex in Utah will be completely empowered by the software from Inaris and Verint. So even though I believe Inaris is owned now by Boeing and Verint by another company, nevertheless, the fact is that Israelis are extremely involved, not only in the war on the cyber war with the United States. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, a new agreement was reached between Israel and the United States to increase the cooperation and probably information sharing in the cyber terrorism conflict that we ostensibly face against Islamic extremism. But anyway, let me just read, if I could, a couple of paragraphs from that previous article, quoting Bamford. He says that Inaris was founded by an Israeli entrepreneur in Israel with ties to Unit 800, which is the NSA of Israel. Verizon's spy system also relies on an Israeli company called Verint. And the founder of Verint is an FBI fugitive who remains so. So here we have the companies we are depending upon to run our surveillance system, but specifically the Utah system, founded by Israeli entrepreneurs deeply involved in the Secret Service of Israel, and one of them is actually a fugitive from the FBI. And he goes on to say, with remote access to internal and international voice and data communications of over 100 countries around the world, including the United States. Verint's headquarters in Tel Aviv has a capacity rivaled only by NSA's, if not greater.
Isn't that amazing?
Especially when coupled with Perse's voice mining capability. Now, Perse is a spin-off of Verint. So we have three Israeli companies, but Perse specializes in voice mining. Perse is an example of how close and interconnected these companies are with Israel's intelligence community, a factor of great concern concerning how much of their bugging equipment is now secretly hardwired into the American telecommunications system. In fact, a former senior official in Shin Bet, Israel's secret intelligence, is on Perse's board of directors. The advisory board for the company that backs Perse includes a former chief of Israeli Mossad. And Bamford goes on to say the greatest potential beneficiaries of this marriage between the Israeli eavesdroppers and America's increasingly centralized telecom grid are Israel's intelligence agencies. Pretty sobering stuff.
Well, they own us just about lock, stock, and barrel. They have their tentacles into everything. They listen to everything. If you look up Amdocs, A-M-D-O-C-S, you'll see a company that I think does the billing for over 90% of U.S. telecommunications, certainly the cell phone industry, and they have the ability to monitor anything they want. They've got it all. Very shrewd, very clever.
One of the things that's also concerning me in these articles is the book called The New Conspiracy Reader, written in 2004, presents four major components necessary to implement the global surveillance system of this Zionist conspiracy. And these include super fast digital face scan hardware and integrated with super fast computers. And this is what exactly what we're seeing now. You know, the Real ID Act of 2005 required digiphotos, your driver's license, your passport, required that everybody be digitally recorded. And then what they're wanting to do is take not only the digital photos, but they're wanting to take every bit of surveillance camera data and also integrate it into the internet, making a federally accessible database of digiphotographs. And this technology of digiphotographs is so advanced now that these cameras, these troll cams, especially mounted at airports or along freeways or so on, they can literally recognize a person speeding by in freeway traffic. They can recognize his face. They
amazing.
Can register that in the computer.
Yes.
And that goes into your database. That goes into the Utah complex, the computer complex we're talking about tonight, adding to your profile. They're telling the computer where you went that day, when you came back, and so
scary on. Scary stuff. We will pause on that note and ponder just a bit and come back with Ted. Okay, and we're back talking with Ted Pike about what happened to our security, our surveillance society. Endless. And it's only getting to be more amazing all the time. Technology is just running rampant, running amok. And there is really no way to restrain it. Unfortunately, the people who own it are not the people who have our best interests at heart. On the contrary, it's quite amazing. And it's equally as amazing, Ted, to see nothing coming out of the Congress by way of truly trying to protect us from this. It's all being justified under national security rubrics and the fake war on terror and all the rest of it. It's really not a good situation. And in a few years, it's going to be horrific. There'll be nowhere to run, nowhere to go, nowhere to hide, nothing. And the tragedy of it is the young people will learn to accept that as being the norm.
Yes, they will.
Won't even question it.
Right. Well, there are certain justifications for this technology, for security, surveillance in the economic realm, and computer applications, all this kind of thing. There are real economic profits to be made from developing and research and so on. The problem is that once this technology becomes embedded in the data systems like we're talking about today and using the internet, and it's really quite irreversible. It's there, these vast troves of information that companies like Verizon turn over to the government, and other of these internet giants. Well, that data remains in the government's control. It describes us, our way of life. Sometimes our most intimate conversations have been recorded, and so on. And so the whole system is moving in a direction not just a commercial or even for purposes of bona fide national security, but it's moving toward an Orwellian, almost omniscient understanding of every person on planet Earth, and establishes the precedent of the government's right to make such intrusion. And of course, this is in blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment against unlawful searches. We are being searched daily by the government in a way that is in blatant violation of the Constitution. You know, I do mention in this article, Bamford talks about one of the architects of the masterminding of this program, Binney. What's his first name? I forget his first name, but James Binney, I believe, defected from the NSA when he realized that no longer was there going to be an ostensible use of this technology in the war against so-called terror, but it was they were going to use it as a massive gathering in of information in exquisite detail about every person on planet Earth. He left the NSA, and he said that anybody who would at that point criticize this new Orwellian aspect of the NSA would be crucified. But he went public. He got in touch with Bamford. Bamford quotes him extensively. And he also warns about Berendt and Naris and the Israeli element in this whole thing. So what it's working toward is his world government, a new world order, and consistent with everything we know about a 2,000-year history of Zionist and Jewish ambition to control this government. We are seeing confirmed that the Israelis are right in the center of this, masterminding it, watching every move of its development, and undoubtedly compiling their own very exhaustive computer record on the inhabitants of the earth. You know, in that regard, I do make the point in one of these articles that all of the communist revolutions of the 20th century, in Russia, in China, in Cuba, literally for years before the communists took over in these countries, they would compile exhaustive lists of their potential enemies, the enemies of the people. And certainly that's what ADL was doing when they were caught red-handed with 10,000 Christian conservatives and Muslims, which they had been illegally gathering in California and the West Coast. And what we see here is a vast proliferation, exponentially great investigative information gathering program on potential adversaries, which can be eliminated at the time of the New World Order. In fact, the greatest world revolution that has ever taken place will occur. Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I got a little short here. Remember, Mercury's in retrograde. What I wanted to talk about was the incredible technology that's being deployed right now. And one of them, there are a number of different modalities. One of them, Ted, is called pre-crime surveillance cams. And this is going to take place first in San Francisco. BRS Labs is to install its cameras on transport systems in San Francisco, which include buses, trams, and subways. The company says it's going to put them in 12 stations with up to 22 cameras in each one. And these cameras will be able to track up to 150 people at a time, in real time, and will gradually build up a memory of suspicious behavior to work out what is suspicious.
Yes.
In other words, if you're doing something physically that looks suspicious, they may come over, grab you, and put you through the interrogation mill, or send you to Gitmo, one or the other. This is crazy. Now, here's another one. Capturing fingerprints. Okay, you talked about getting someone's face from a passing car at relative high speed. They can catch fingerprints now, read them from up to 20 feet away without you ever even knowing it. The system is called IDAIR, I-D-A-I-R, IDAIR. It can scan and identify a fingerprint from 20 feet away. Coupled with other biometrics, it could soon allow security systems to grant or deny access from a distance without requiring users to stop and have a fingerprint scanned, swipe an ID card, or otherwise lose a moment dealing with technology. You know, they'll scan you from 20 feet. And if it's 20 feet now, it'll be 200 feet in a couple of years. And by the time you approach wherever it is you're trying to get, you'll be grabbed or audibly told, the man in the green coat, don't approach the turnstile. Step to the side. It's crazy. And there's more. We'll talk about that as we continue with Ted Pike in our discussion about technology and surveillance. Brave new world? I don't think so. Okay, back with Ted. And so fingerprints from 20 feet away, Ted. Here's some more. They've got those mobile backscatter X-ray vans. Police all over America will soon be driving around in unmarked vans looking inside your cars, even under your clothing, using the same porn scan technology being used by the TSA at U.S. airports. So Chertoff strikes again with even more money-making backscatter X-ray devices. Hijacking your mind. The U.S. military literally wants to be able to hijack your mind and thinking. The theory is that this would enable U.S. forces to nonviolently convince terrorists not to be terrorists anymore. But obviously the potential for abuse with this kind of technology is, shall we say, extraordinary.
Yes.
The Pentagon's defense, DARPA, wants to understand the science behind what makes people violent, and then find ways to hijack their minds electromagnetically with frequencies. And they'll be able to do it. And maybe they already can.
Go
ahead.
The Army does want to be able to recognize from a drone a potential terrorist on the ground in Afghanistan, Iraq, or whatever. They want to be able to literally detect it through his body movements and maybe even his mental activities, whether he is a threat.
And on the streets of Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, and Portland, and any other city. Within the next 3 to 5 years, drones will be flying over all major urban areas. It's just obvious.
That's right.
Unmanned drones in U.S. airspace are a fact. That's just it.
Well, you mentioned earlier how that in a few years, the youth will become acclimatized. They'll become used to this kind of surveillance.
Oh, they'll grow up with it. It's normal to them.
They'll grow up with it. It's just a fact that you take a flight on an airplane. They can look at your through your body. Now they'll expect the right of the government to look through their mind, through their intentions. Kind of gets into this hate crimes legislation where the intentions are the business of the government. Were you bias motivated in committing a crime? If you were, then you committed a hate crime, and so on. And in this article, my latest article, we do mention how, especially in places like Britain, those who would want to adopt children and who are so-called homophobic are considered public enemies, they're considered haters, They are considered people who need to change, who must change, who are socially unacceptable. And in contrast, the homosexuals who want to adopt, they are the way they are. They are genetically programmed. They cannot change. And so in the New World Order that's coming up, you have two different categories of people. You have those who cannot change, like homosexuals, and then you have all of the Christians, Christian conservatives who can change and therefore will be forced to change in re-education camps through sensitivity training and courses and all these kinds of things. And if they do not change, then we're talking about gulags, we're talking about exile as social misfits who need to be excluded or eradicated from society.
Exactly. You talked about face reading software and how amazing that is. Data mining is going on everywhere. Streetlights will all be equipped with cams and audio devices pretty soon. So you walk down the street on some control center at some location in your city, in your town, will be able to listen, and they'll have speakers. They have these already in England. They can talk back to people from these various light poles. They can watch and talk to them. Automated ISP monitoring of your internet activity. It's all automated. Nothing you do on the internet is private. Nothing.
No.
And it's all changing. The world is becoming the internet. The world is becoming the internet. And soon, there'll be millions of TV stations on the internet. There'll be so many that nobody will be able to focus on the good ones. Everybody and his brother and sister will have their own TV station. Mark my words, it's that simple. Oh, they'll play reruns of Ozzy and Harriet, sports events, whatever. And they'll all have their own. They'll do one a day, a newscast, or their own reality shtick. Watch us have breakfast here at the Smith family. It's crazy, and it's all going nuts because everybody wants what, Ted? They all want to be a celebrity. They all want to be a star. Did you see me on my TV channel yesterday, on my YouTube TV channel? Live streaming video is now so relevant and so easy for most people that everyone's going to have it soon.
Well, you know, that's why it's so important that we preserve a sense of resistance, a responsibility to...
And awareness of what we had and what we lost.
Because it is so overwhelming, so intimidating. You know, in the book of Revelation, it says of the Antichrist world government, who is able to make war with the beast? Who is able to overcome him? He's absolutely invincible. But at the end of this last article, I do point out that public outrage, public indignation has made a difference, even in the last 10 years, in holding back the momentum of this Orwellian agenda. I point out that in 2002, the Information Awareness Office was created by Congress in response to 9/11 to give the government unrestrained surveillance and eavesdropping powers over all telecommunications. But protest was so intense and widespread that by 2003, the IAO was defunded by Congress. The government has been forced to perform in secret much of what it hoped could be done with public approval. And the same public outcry defeated the SOPA and PIPA internet takeover bills. And I believe we can do the same thing with this new internet takeover bill called CISPA, the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, which is in the Senate Intelligence Committee right now. And I do make a point at the end of this article that people should call the members of that committee, Republican and Democrat, and give the same loud protest that defeated the SOPA and PIPA bills, because there is, even though I don't believe, I believe that this is fated, this is prophesied, that we are heading, as the Bible prophesies, toward a world government, a Jewish world government. Nevertheless, we have the power to slow it down. Every day, every month, every year of freedom is incredibly precious, and we have to preserve this legacy.
Well, it'll be a question of trying to remember what we lost.
Yes.
Hate to say it, it'll be like a history book. What we had 20 years ago is gone. What we had 10 years ago is gone. Yes. They are literally now gathering every bit of data about virtually every citizen in this country into their NSA computer systems. Yeah. And it's exploding. What is storage? It's not cheap. You are the target. We are the target. The story out on that now.
What we have to strive to do is retain the dignity of resistance. You know, back 20, 30 years ago in Tiananmen Square, when that heroic Chinese youth stood up in front of that tank, what a picture of liberty and zeal for truth and freedom that was. But what has happened is that the state has become so incredibly oppressive, and you can't fight the system. As they said in the Soviet Union, you can't flay a stone. You can't do anything to hold back the tremendous omnipresent power of the Soviet or the Chinese state. And now today, anyone who even dares or presumes to resist or criticize or protest the government in China is laughed at. They are held in derision. They're held in contempt. They're considered to be fools for trying to hold back or resist or even criticize the government. And we have to continue to maintain this heroic dignity of speaking out against oppression.
Oh, I agree. And that photo, of course, has been duplicated in the Middle East as well.
Yes.
Palestinian kids and people standing in front of Israeli tanks. Yes. Same thing. The spirit of freedom and liberty exists, and it always will. Unfortunately, it's being subverted and subjugated by technology that is literally undreamed of by the masses. They just don't get it. And what's worse is the younger people will grow up with it and expect it. They'll think it's perfectly normal. Nothing to be done about it. The training, the regimentation, the configuration of an entire culture, a society, a being, a generation, multi-generations, done. Done deal. So it will remain for the few who can remember and who cherish real liberty and freedom to preserve that and try to help those who forgot what it's like. I know the archives for this program go back now 10,000 hours of programming to 1994. And it is literally a recording, as it were, one long recording of the decline and fall and collapse of the last great years of this country. It's quite a scene we have witnessed, Ted. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, I've been counseled even by a lawyer friend of mine to go underground and try to become anonymous and so on. My reaction is do exactly the opposite, make myself the highest profile light on the highest point that I can shine my light, which is the internet, and keep the truth going out and bringing the world to truth and to salvation.
Hopefully they'll leave a few of us alone as window dressing to give the idea that, oh, there's still freedom of speech. Look at Ted Pike, for example. We'll see. Ted, thanks for being here. Keep it up. We appreciate
you. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Good night.